Kyla,
Casey,
and Carol.
And welcome back to the 101 podcast. Man, we had a little bit of a discussion while the intro song was playing.
I didn't realize it was playing.
It was playing silently for us.
Usually Casey does the bing bongs in the background, so I know what's going on, but this time she honestly very graciously didn't interrupt.
I respected the conversation about ASMR, and I just sat back and I let it happen.
Well, that and I was pulling up my sleep report for last night to share it with you, because Casey and I recently have begun tracking our sleep on our Apple Watches. Oh. I don't know if you do this. Hold on, though, because we're going to have to introduce you, so don't answer that.
What is that deep ho-ho
you,
in the background?
You heard a ho-ho.
Maybe we should open debate. And,
you're right, you're right.
And so he can speak.
Of course. Okay, are there any points of motions on the floor?
Motion to open debate.
That is an order. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
A debate is now open.
Oh my yes. Gosh.
You hear this voice. But who is he?
This nice, smooth, deep male voice.
Honestly, a really good voice. Perfectly made for radio. We have brought you a Fran.
The one, the only.
Hello. I was talked about last week.
He was. This is the quickest we've ever, like,
yeah. See how fast,
fulfilled a promise.
Yeah, see how fast we work when we don't have a topic in mind for this week's episode.
We literally asked.
We're like, what did we say last
yesterday?
Week?
Did we ask you yesterday? Or the day before?
On Monday.
Monday?
Yeah,
because we were trying to figure out when we were going to record this, and we were like, what are we going to record? And then Casey was like, we could just have a Fran come on, and thankfully he was available.
And I'm here.
Yeah, and well, the Monday that's coming out, I will have returned from the conference that I'm on, mm-hmm. but I was at Money this past weekend, so mm-hmm. next week you'll get the recap of that.
Yeah, and we'll have folks on.
Folks.
As guests to talk about that from our team. Still kind of undecided about who that's going to be, so there's one guest.
He's clamoring for a spot.
Ardent about being on the episode, but we'll see who the other people are. But back to my sleep schedule.
Yeah.
Because I want to ask you, have you tracked your sleep on your Apple Watch?
No.
Okay.
Because we're all
I
Apple Watch.
I usually take her off of it.
Okay. Well, we used to do the same thing.
Apple Watch Supreme users now do this.
You now sleep in your watch. It is horribly uncomfortable for like the first few nights. It feels terrible.
I always put it like super loose and then put my arm like way
I
up.
I do too. Like you Superman it.
I'll hold the pillow and my head's on the pillow and my mm-hmm. left arm is like sticking up yep. to the sky.
I know a thing or two about like uncomfortable sleeping, like things we do for our own self-good. I use a night guard because apparently I grind my teeth.
Oh, Casey does too.
Yeah, I had to go get my, like, go to dentist because there was like little holes in my teeth
ooh.
That were cavities, but it's just like me
you
drilling away at night.
If Frame grinds, I clench.
I clench really hard too. It contributes to my neck problems. You didn't know I had neck problems, but now you do.
Get yourself a night guard.
Well, the thing is, I already have retainers.
Wear it over the retainer.
Maybe I could. I don't really know how any of that works.
Okay, but how are you sleeping?
Actually, I slept really well last night.
Same.
Okay, the thing is,
what happened?
I've been a little concerned because it, like, the last few nights, and I've been doing this since last Thursday. Yeah. Every night, it's been like all of the indicators are in red. They're like, this is bad. This is also very bad. You are really not sleeping well. But last night, I finally hit 6 hours of restful sleep, which was huge for me because I've been averaging around four.
How do you like maneuver that though?
You just guess. Like, you just hope for the best. Apparently, if you, like, have a more regular sleep schedule and, like, you're exercising more and, like, different things can make you more restful.
But those are all so hard.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And I think I have a pretty regular sleep schedule. Like, I go to bed at 11 and I wake up at 6:30 every day. Constantly.
Amazing.
I slept till 7 today, and I think that was the big thing.
I'm not trying to flex anything, but my big success of the night, other than 7 hours of restful sleep, was my heart dip insane last night.
Oh, mine was too. What was yours?
26%.
Oh my god, mine was 21.
Wow, I don't know what's going on in this apartment.
We were really restful last night. It was very peaceful here.
Nobody was making any crazy noises.
Is a heart dip just like you're getting closer to death?
Yes.
So it's just more peaceful.
It's how close you're getting to dying.
It's you're getting closer to death, so it's peaceful.
It's kind of nice. No, but for comparison's sake, the night before, I had a really not restful night of sleep. I don't know why. My heart dip was 2%, and it was, like, flashing red. Like, do you have heart disease? Like, this is really
Wait,
not good.
The night before, I also had an awful heart dip. It was...
God, we're connected.
It was 4%.
Oh my God, we're connected.
Okay. Those three girls they show you on, like, the Instagram, those are just stock images. Like, they're just one. They edit the voices.
Okay, my thing is, like, there must be something related to, like, what's going on around the... Like, if there's a noise around the apartment or, like, I don't know. That's just too similar.
Our upstairs neighbors are loud, so then we get disturbed.
Well, one of the loud ones moved out.
Thank God. Like, I truly don't know if I've rejoiced more about something since
it's been, like,
here.
Low-key very peaceful.
It's been very peaceful. Okay. We're way off topic, and we haven't talked
Look,
about it
Look, we've only filled in 5 minutes of our time.
Oh, that felt like a long time.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, well... I'll conclude this segment by saying, please start sleeping with your Apple Watch.
Okay.
All right. We use the app Sleepwatch. You have to download it. That is not a plug. They do not sponsor us. I do not care if you download it.
Sponsor me, Sleepwatch.
Just kidding. Sleepwatch, I care. Please sponsor me. But do it, and then we can have you back for a follow-up segment about your sleep, and we can
cycle.
All compare. It's going to be the special sleep episode.
Yeah. Efrain is so excited for this.
He seems like it.
Do you have any anecdotes you'd like to share before we jump in?
Okay, me and Devin have lived in an attic for 2 years now.
You have. You really
two
have.
Separate
Wait, two
attics.
Different attics.
Two different attics. This is a much nicer attic, though, because we have our own bathroom in this one.
It's also pink, so that's good.
It's
my
also
pink bathroom attic.
And we have very vocal neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Sure do. They're downstairs
neighbors, and they are very loud, and we share like a staircase with them basically. Mm-hmm. It goes all
the arrangement
way down.
Is very interesting.
Yeah, but so we hear them a lot. But yeah, Devin and I live up in our
what kind
ivory
of sounds?
Tower.
What kind of sounds do you guys hear?
Screaming.
You and Devin have lived together for 3 years now.
3 years, yeah.
3 years.
I'm sorry, we just glossed over the screaming.
No, that's not my business.
What about I've been to your apartment a few times. Yeah. I've heard myself some televangelism screams. Going on.
Yeah. Televangelism?
Here's the thing, because, like, I'm nosy, and a lot of times when I hear the screaming, I'll just stay in the staircase and try to hear what they're
Absolutely.
Screaming about.
You have to.
But it's like, incomprehensible. Like, you know they're yelling at each other, like, they're trying to communicate their scream, but you don't know what it is. It's just a whole bunch of, like, And I wish I knew, like, what they were fighting over, because I feel like that'd make it so much better. It'd be exciting. But no, it just screams. I have theories, though, but...
We don't need to get into that now.
I'm trying not to, like, laugh heinously loud, but I'm, like, about to cry after, the scream impression. Before we jump into today's topic...
Yeah.
We did say we were going to do a little Mun news section.
Sure.
I have no news...
No
For
one told
you.
Me any news.
The only news that I have is that our website is blowing up.
It is. I don't really know why, I'm going to be honest.
It's
we
blown up
really
so much WordPress
them.
Was like, alert, it's
they
blowing up.
They sent me a notification being like, hey, SOS, there's a lot of people on your website right now. That's not typical.
It's 10 more than when we last saw.
Yeah,
so.
People are really into it. So... I'm a little bit confused about what you want from me, because basically we've only posted two things this year, and we already have, like, as many views and viewers as we did all of last year, so I don't really understand what you want from me.
Once we hit 2,000 Instagram followers, that was really the key to unlock everything.
Well, we're gonna be posting more now, because now we're kind of on, like, a regular schedule, and things have, like, started back up. We had to take a little bit of a hiatus, both for our mental health, and also because, we just didn't have anything to talk about. But now we're back, and we have things to talk about.
I feel like January's always, like, really slow. It's kind of funky.
Exactly.
It's I don't so even know long. Who January is.
Yeah, I don't know January 2020. Really bad time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully February 2020 brings us.
Well, we're off
prosperity.
To a great start with the Iowa caucus.
Oh, no. Okay, we're avoiding
know,
that subject.
No, not yet. As of this episode we're recording, the results...
62%.
62% are in.
All right, but... The point of today's episode, first, we could get to know Efrain a little bit, but I think the focus of today's episode is Efrain, I don't know if you listened to the last episode, I texted you.
I did, I listened to
he
it.
He did
like,
listen
that
to it.
On Monday, so.
We were going on and on about Efrain's crisis directing skills.
We've
so.
Talked about it in a lot of episodes,
yeah.
honestly, not even just that one, we talk about it a lot.
So maybe he can drop a few tips and then stay to the end, because Efrain's going to tell you what he looks for in a successful crisis arc for winners.
So
for winners.
Know, we can't guarantee that you'll win because you listen to Efrain, but I mean, I can also kind of guarantee it, so.
Nothing's in writing.
Listen, I don't run any conferences, so.
Efrain, why did you join Model UN?
Oh my god, okay, so I was, well, I'm I'm also a, like, diplomacy IR major, so, like, it just, like, made sense to be, like, you know, it's, like, being pushed. It's like a star, you know, being pushed into the black hole. Like, it just kind of makes sense. Like, it makes...
The star is a diplomacy.
It's an undeniable force.
And I'm like, well, this... I mean, it also sounded cool when I did a lot of debate stuff in high school, but never a Model... I actually tried to do a Model UN club in high school, and when I went to the teacher, he was like, okay, and you'll do everything, right? Yeah, literally, he was, like, the most unsupportive person, so I just didn't do it. And, but I ended up doing, like, moot court with him, which he actually took responsibility for.
Why did I not know you did moot court?
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so I did, like, other debate things, so I'm like, well, I guess I'll just keep doing debate things in college. And, you know, I just fell into the black, I got taken into the black hole, and I liked it.
Yep. Yeah.
But, I kissed a girl and I liked it. I don't know why.
But yeah, and I started off my freshman year to a slow start where like I didn't apply to my first conference.
You had a rocky relationship with Model UN.
Because like I thought I was like, okay, this is cool, whatever, but like I didn't get picked to the first conference because I didn't apply to it because I didn't feel that I was like ready for it, even though like Noel, an old like e-board member, like was like, yeah, you should totally apply, and I was like, nah. And then it's like freshman year, and you always think you're busy.
He was playing hard to get.
And you always think you're busy, but you're actually not.
You realize later you were never less busy
than
your freshman year.
It's just, you just think you are. You just end up realizing you have to do any of the work. And then eventually it like slowly came back into it. Actually, you know what it was that got me back into it? It was the high school conference that we did that got me back into it.
No, and I think that's honestly, there have been a few people like that. Because I think John was like that too, kind of.
And I was a crisis staffer, and I think John was a crisis staffer too, which I guess, like, crisis is, like, kind of funky to figure out if you come from, like, you know, a classical debate background. So I think
classical.
He's classically trained.
I'm classically trained. but like, because crisis is really funky. So, like, being able to, like, know what it is that people want in it, because it's, you know, sometimes it's hard when people are like, this is what you need to do. And I think the way we did things back then was differently too, so it took me a while to pick it up. But like seeing it actually like in there and knowing what was good or not, like it like okay, now I understand. And after that was like when I actually knew what I was doing instead of like I kind of know what I'm doing.
Afreen, I genuinely think that, so just for some context to listeners, is like I feel like we've had every year there's been like the crisis director, like the big like they know what they're doing, blah blah blah. I feel like Afreen was like a protege of like the guy our freshman year.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
His name was Nick, and Afreen was like
you got to learn from under him. Nick.
Yeah, I did,
and grow from
for 2 years because he was really good too. He was really cool.
He was really good. He was really into it. Had a lot of similar style things as Afreen did. Yeah. I also feel like for some context of our friendship, we've known Afreen since before we even started going to college together.
Afreen's the cool guy.
Afreen almost wasn't part of our friend group because he was so desirable to be friends with everyone.
Afreen was a hot commodity.
We're not exaggerating. Every single like click / friend group our freshman year was like, Afreen, 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 hang out with us. And somehow
I gave them
we won.
He gave us the
rose. I can't believe we won Afreen's bachelor season.
No, like, I went through, like, I guess there was, like, all these, you know, like, bachelor friend groups, and I, like, you know, went on my group round or whatever, and...
He went through recruitment, and then found his forever home.
There was the one group that, you know, I thought it was going to be the one, it was going to be the one I was going to final rose to, and then it ended up not working out.
Was that,
out.
Like, the Luke from The Bachelor kind of situation, where you really were into them, and then you realize, like, it's not as great as it seems?
Yeah. But they were like, you guys were, it's because we lived on the same floor, so like...
It was a relationship of convenience.
Yeah. No. We lived on the same floor, so I would, like, even when I had, like, the other groups, I would always, like, still, like, kind of do things with you guys. And I slowly came to realize, like, okay, well, these people were actually fun, and, like, when I hang out with them, like, they're kind of boring, and, like... Yeah,
well,
honestly,
we just brought Afreen on to hype us up, so... Yeah.
Well...
We
that was
Afreen
just mostly to say we've been friends with Afreen for years. Yeah. He's been one of our best friends for a really long time.
Even through his times in the attic?
Even through his times in the attic. Yeah, and I mean, we've all lived in weird places. And it's kind
I live with you right now, so.
Well, that's kind of what college does to you. It puts you in places you don't want to be, so.
Kylie and I have lived together for four years.
4 years.
It's been a good time, though.
It has been. So that's the context of our friendship. And we all started doing MUN at the same time, and we all have, like, gone through the trenches of the club and the competitive team and like, the conference and all of that.
Being a freshman together, being, beautiful, like...
black hole.
Yeah.
Oh.
I feel like it's... I don't know if we've ever had a guest on that was our year.
Devin came on for the... Devin did, I think it was the Yahoo Answer early episode
He was on early, but you're, like, one of the few people that's been on from our year. We usually have people that are younger than us.
That's because...
We're washed
That's
up.
It. That's all of us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, everyone from our year quit otherwise.
Or graduated.
There's three seniors on our team, which is...
It's like
it's the first time there's actually been
seniors. And then sometimes Devin rolls up.
Yeah, there would have been five, but Caroline and I graduated early, so we dipped real quick.
You know what's funny? Because you guys were seniors last year, but I didn't see you guys as seniors.
We didn't see ourselves as seniors either.
You're not allowed to be.
It was
seniors.
Only for a semester. We only knew that was going to be happening for a semester. Yeah. So,
all right, Efrain.
Or senior sum.
Give the people some tips on being a maybe from the point of. How to be a good staffer. Let's start off with that. Because I feel like that's an interesting role to be in. And it can either make the director's job really easy or really hard, depending on how you are as a staffer.
So I guess, as a staffer, going to like the bare minimum, stick with the same people. Because I remember when I first started, like, we didn't really have like crisis staffer training.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of like, ka-chow. And so I didn't really, but I picked it up, and so, like, stick with the same people, and...
Like, responding to notes.
Yeah, stick to the same person responding, and, like, sometimes, like, no, some people, like, write more than others, so you get, balance it out as you go, but stick to the same person, and now, sort of, like, going to the director side of things, like, stick to the same person, and also, like, know what to respond to without having to talk to the director, because I think that's, like, to directing stuff.
That's all right.
Like, my number one tip for directors is not to take crisis notes, because I think that you get involved. Like, I think the director is supposed to be more on the macro sort of the thing, where, like, you plan the updates and, like, the big things. And if you get caught up with the notes and, like, the individual arcs, then you kind of forget about the big, the whole picture.
I agree with that.
And then you also, from what I've noticed, when I would take notes, I would, like, ignore sort of like other arcs and not sort of see like
that's like, definitely a problem, because then you're like, I'll take the arcs that I like and let's make the whole committee about these like three people.
Because like the entirety of the arcs that you're responding to, then you don't think like the other arcs are as good because you don't see the whole like the whole like sequence leading up to them. So I think it's better for the director not to take notes and just sort of oversee everything. And so as a staffer, I think it's important to, know what to respond to without having to go to the director, just so that, they can just kind of overlook everything and not have to, like, talk individually, like, person to person as the notes come in. Like, it's kind of annoying. But being able to tell the director, like, oh, this is what's going on. This is what's developing.
So like, the important stuff to pass along.
What's your system with that? Because I know some people do it differently with, like, getting information from your staffers.
Yeah, so I always do like a Google Docs where I have all the positions, or like an Excel or sheets, and I just have like the position names and they just like write what's going on in there, or I just do it on the board. I think I always do the Google Docs, but I feel like it always ends up transitioning to the board at the end.
The visual's nice.
Yeah, so and I think it's like easier to just write it on there too. But I mean, the docs works. The docs, like just having like something where you can see what everyone's up to and just have the staffers like write it on there, and that's like the director can see and, like, sort of...
Like, abbreviated.
Yeah, abbreviated.
writing the whole note will take a little too long.
Yeah. Another advice for staffers. Crisis committees, like, as, like, historical and, like, has, like, educational and, like, accurate as they're supposed to be, they aren't. So it's okay if, like, some things, like, are, like, completely inaccurate or untrue, because that's fine. It's not supposed to be. So, like... Try not to, like, as a staffer, like, dig into, like, the nitty-gritty details of, like, historical data, like, historical information of, like, time periods. Because, like, as delegates, like, we know that we aren't gonna, do things, like, super historically accurate anyways. I'm one of the people that doesn't really research as much.
Mood.
So I just kind of, like, do things, like, generally from the time period. And I feel like even like for us when doing crisis staffing and directing, like it's easier to do that instead of like focusing on like the stupid little details, because then you're just gonna kind of stay back. Like, it's not real, you know, it's not supposed to be.
The point isn't to reenact history, it's to do it differently, ideally. So is it really worth like forcing someone to do
this wasn't invented thing. For two more years.
Like, well, let them have the shotgun if they want, you know, it. I don't know.
It's a simulation. It's like SimCity. Like it's fun and you can like build things, but like it isn't real. Like, you know, it is
Godzilla.
You don't just zone in like buildings come up. Like, there's a whole bunch of other garbage you have to deal with in real life.
Yeah.
But in SimCity it's fun because it's a simulation. So you get, it's kinda like that.
That was beautiful. I really liked that. SimCity's a good game.
Yeah, I'm playing
that. Download that.
Yeah.
So, I was going to ask a little bit about updates, because I feel like we've talked a lot about your updates, and before we get into you in room and how that all goes, I want to ask how you craft your updates, like, in your back room, and what you do in that process, because I have, like, no experience crisis directing. I think I've done it twice, for, like, a full committee, so I'm interested.
So, usually when I go into it, I don't really have much of a plan, because I like to base it off what people are doing through notes. Like, if it's just, like, the trainings that we do, I don't have a plan, because I'm lazy and just like to base it off what people do. But for, like, the big conference, I like to have, like, one or two ideas of what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
But from the times I've done it, like, there's always stuff you can pull from the notes and what people are doing. Mm-hmm. Or the directives. Like, that's sort of, like, the whole point of, like, being in room is like solving this stuff, so it makes it kind of easy, because, you know, they write the directive so you just kind of tear the directives apart and see what you could do from there, or the notes. And also, like, I sort of like set up like a timeline, I guess, you know, like, this is where we're starting, and like these are the issues, and they should be working towards like this goal, so like if they do certain things, like, they should get, you know, to a certain point. So I just kind of, like, imagine, like, a timeline, sort of, like, what would happen, but not necessarily, like, it has to happen. It's more like, I have things that are for backup, and then based off what they're doing in room, I kind of make something out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's a much better style of directing, because I think when you plan too much, then you're taking away from, like, the delegates actually crafting the experience, and it feels like nothing I do through crisis is having an impact. Mm-hmm. But when directors do, you know, mostly based off of arcs and directives and just, like, a couple things in their back pocket to spice it up, as a delegate, I feel like I'm actually having way more of an impact on committee and, like, I don't know, RP is very high.
Yeah, I've been in a lot of committees where, like, we'll pass a directive and then we'll never hear about it again.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I think it's important to keep, like, people engaged to make sure that they know that you're paying attention and you're not just doing this for nothing. Because I think that that's super frustrating.
Yeah, so I try to base it off of that, but, like, yeah. I just wanted to, like, talk about the directives, and so, like,
yeah.
There's, like, times where, like, delegates just, like, flood us with directives.
Oh, that's,
and it's like,
yeah.
Which is a little fun to bring up. It's
how,
always fun.
How strict are you on directives? Because I know everyone's different.
Actually, this applies to both, like, our trainings and for the conference. Like,
for, like, we do a high school conference, we've talked about at length in the previous episode.
You could pick up, especially high school conferences, who is the experienced delegates and who are not. And so, and in trainings, like, you know, who has, you know, who are the ones going to conferences and who are the ones that need training. So I always pick on those people a little harder, because I know that those are the ones that know what they're doing and need the pushback. So if it's for the high school conference, if you could tell they're beginners, I tell my staffers to help guide them, sort of. So I tell them, like, okay, if you notice that these people are obviously don't know what they're doing, then give them suggestions. So, like, if, because, you know, a very, like, typical, like, like, intro to crisis thing someone will do is just, like, ask for things without really explaining how they got in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I usually tell them to respond with, you can't just get it right away, like, maybe reach out to someone you know, or maybe, like, contact someone who you think could have it, to sort of help them develop the arc. But if I see, like, the people that are, like, going into it right away, like, they know what they're doing, then I give them a little pushback, you know? I mean, I don't push back right away, but, like, I'll look into the details. And then that's when they hit them back with a little, you know, drama.
Drama.
No, I think that's good. Yeah. I think it keeps it a little bit more fair, because I think especially at a high school level, you get really different levels of experience between delegates, as much as you may try and split it up between, like, experience between rooms, like, it keeps it engaging.
It's never going to work like that.
You know, and you know what's kind of crazy? Like, the past 3 years that I've done it, when I've, like, helped, when we've seen those delegates that are sort of struggling, we help them, you, like, they get better, like, within the day. Like, you notice mm-hmm. that they get better, and then they actually end up picking up and doing, like, good crisis arcs.
Which and then you cool. can give them a little drive, right?
And then I give them a little drive, a little trouble, yeah.
No, like, the first year when Devin and I chaired together, I mean, we did a GA, but the delegate that we ended up giving best delegate to was a first-timer. Like, he had never done it before, and he just, like, grew so much through the conference we just, like, didn't even realize. So
that's so cute.
I think it's cool when you can you help them.
Yeah. But with directives, though, because that's, like, it, like a joint thing. So, like, it depends. Like, if I see that they're... If there's, like, not that much directive being done, then I probably won't do that much pushback, just because it's, you know, I want to make it seem...
You want them to write something?
Yeah, I want them to think they're successful.
They aren't.
I want them to think they're good, you
they
know?
They fundamentally are very bad, but then, I'm just going to let them think otherwise.
But then sometimes, like, if I'm like, okay, well, there's something, there's, like, a little error here that I can make a big update about, then I'll grab that and, like... be dramatic about it, you know, because
were you the director when someone accidentally misspelled like planes as plans?
That was me.
Was at a conference.
No, that was at a training.
Oh, I'm thinking of the made-up country name. I'm sorry.
Oh yes,
another misspelling.
Yeah, that was not me. But for example, when we did, like, Napoleon, I think it was through directive that they tried to, like, take care of a disease for, like, exiling people, but they never said where, so I just put them in England and, like, made the entire island of England get infected, and it was, like, Zombie Island, and that was, like, something that I made an update later on about.
Well,
yeah.
Efrain, I have a very important question for you. What is your favorite update that you've ever done?
Oh man, so this is hard, because generally I just, like, make an idiot of myself, and I like, and I enjoy doing that. So they're all pretty fun, but being Napoleon was very fun. Mm-hmm. So for the Napoleon, that was the high school conference I directed, or committee I directed. And just, like, going in there and, like, making them stand for me and, like, just, like, screaming at them was fun. But there's also other, like, other trainings that we've done, like, as training for the team, where...
You can include those. It's fine. Yeah. You can give two if you want, if it's that hard for you.
Well, it's hard. I don't know, because, like, they're all just kind of, like, mushed together, because I just, like, jump around and, like, scream in different accents.
You definitely do have a theme, maybe? Yeah. Or aesthetic. A style? An aesthetic. Yeah. That's exactly the word I was
really
looking for.
It's really the jumping and the, like, uncertain, like, we're uncertain about where the accent is from, but you know where the accent's from.
I saw the Ukrainian accent video recently, really spot on. I'm not sure for what, but I liked it.
So, like, I think that's why I like Napoleon, because it was just, like, my general aesthetic of screaming and, like, being an idiot, but with costumes and props.
So it's
like Broadway at that point.
Were you the one who officiated the marriage in the Napoleon committee?
Yes, I think so. Or was I the one getting married?
Who knows? Maybe both.
Yeah.
We recently, I can't remember what conference it was, we recently heard that a conference has a prop budget per committee.
Oh, yes.
How does that make you feel?
Tea on the street.
Yeah,
Sea Money has a prop budget. We're very jealous.
Yeah. Because I was going to get a full Napoleon Bonaparte costume.
Yeah.
But it was $50, and I couldn't, I couldn't justify spending $50.
Do you know how many
costume?
Halloweens you would be set for?
I know.
Forever, you're Napoleon for the rest of your life.
He just only wears that now.
I'm also short, so, like, it works out.
Well, I mean, I think you made a fantastic Napoleon, regardless of
I just
costume.
Used, like, my sheets. So.
Napoleon loves sheets.
He has, like, a French flag, that stale baguette, a pair of Scooby-Doo ears, and a bunch of sheets.
Yeah. And various items from my prop box that was brought up last week.
The prop box!
Yeah, last episode.
He had the Scooby-Doo ears because one year, as a group, all of our friends, we did the Scooby-Doo gang, or I guess Monsters Incorporated.
Yeah.
Wait, no. It's not one year. Mystery Incorporated. Not Monsters.
Yeah, we did. We were all either, like, Mike Wazowski.
All the tall people were Sully, and all of the short people were Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, good costume.
I was Mike Wazowski.
Yeah. And I was Sully.
Yeah, I have the, like, face I kind of like this idea. So.
Yeah, next year.
Next year.
Well, we were supposed to do all Wendy's this year,
and
but
it just ended up none of us were Wendy's.
Because the thing is, I was, like, heavily researching the cost of a Wendy's costume. It's just
too much. Yeah. It's too much. And then, honestly, you run the risk of, if you are a cut-rate Wendy, no one will know that you're Wendy.
Yeah.
You could get, like, a Raggedy Ann, like, identification. No one wants that.
No one wants that.
Then my roommate Devin also wanted to do, like, everyone dressed up like Marge Simpson, which would have been funny, but...
Also then, expensive.
Yeah, then no one did it either.
And then was he Marge Simpson?
No.
No one was. Yeah. Not even a single person. I didn't have a Halloween. I didn't go out for Halloween at all.
I didn't go to a single Halloween party. I just reused a costume.
It's because when you graduate and you have to go to work, and most Halloween parties are during the week, you're just like, nope.
Even, like, as a senior, and I'm just like...
It's too much.
I'm just like, I almost didn't go. I was like, it's my last year.
We made
year,
it to so one like, Halloween party, and that was a mess and a half, so... But the thing is, we need to still ask you, what are you looking for in your best delegate crisis arc?
Okay.
Because I know, like, it's, like, a decision between the chair and the crisis director. But when you, like, the chair says, hey, like, who's doing well in the room? Or, like, who do you think is doing the best in crisis? Or, like, help me with the words. Why are you picking these people that you're picking?
I feel like it's always usually, like, a mix between... And you hear this all the time. A mix between, like, doing well in room and doing well out of room.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll always be a time where, like, I have my favorites and they aren't the favorites of the chair. So, I feel like it's always, you know, you're always better at one or the other. And then if you're good at both, then that's when you award highly. But what I look for... is, like, a good, like, well-developed arc. And I was going to say plot line, and I think that's sort of how you should look at it. Like, a well-developed plot line. Like, you're writing a story, and you want it to be, like, you know, like, from an English class, where, like, you start from the beginning, and then, like, it sort of builds up, then you get to, like, the peak, and then you kind of wrap it all together. And so, like, a good, like, development, where, like, you don't just ask for things right away, and... Usually what, like, catches my eyes from, like, my staffers, like, okay, this is going to be good, like, keep an eye on him or her, is if there's it's just something that seems like, okay, what's going to happen here? Like, this is weird, but you know that it's going to lead to something else. Like, if I can't guess what your next step is, that's usually what, like, intrigues me. It makes me, like, look at your arc. So, I guess, like, be, like, unique and creative
about it. Be mysterious.
Yeah, be mysterious, because if I, like... Whenever I notice, like, something, like, that's, I'm like, oh, what are they gonna do with this? Like, this is weird. I want to see it. Like, if it intrigues me to want to, like...
Like, you're excited when the note comes back.
Mm-hmm. And, like, because I don't take notes. I, like, just kind of oversee everything. So, like, if that, like, catches my eye, like, from the very beginning, I'm gonna be looking over, like, that arc for the rest of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess that's kind of... What I end up looking for is a well-developed arc with, like, something that's unique that will, like, catch my attention. Because everyone always... There's always, this, like, the same arcs with, like, the cults and, like, you know, what else? Like...
Orphans.
Like, there's very common things, and that's fine. But, like, if you get them in a way that's really unique and different, then that also, you know, I think is something that I look for.
How do you feel about note quality? Because I've seen some directors that... You know, it's whatever as long as the content is there in some way or another. It
doesn't
matter.
Give me the TLDR.
Whereas some people really like, you know, page-long novels that are, you know, super...
Yeah.
Does it matter to you?
Well, I'm a novel writer for my notes when I do notes.
I am as well.
So I, like, sympathize a little bit, but I'm not the one taking notes. So
I'm a good half-pager.
Yeah, so...
Max.
I love a long note.
Yeah, I guess the issue, I love writing long notes, but I get that the issue with it, especially as a director, where, like, I want to see, like, all the details, and if it's so long and it takes me a long time to see the details, then it's going to be really easy for me to skip over something, and that could end up, like, biting you in the butt, or, like, I could end up screwing over what you wanted to get out of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would avoid the really long ones, just because... It's especially when towards the end when, like, everyone is sending stuff and, like, there's a lot going on, I will not look at it, like, as deeply in detail, so you might not get everything you want, or I might, like, get to it later. I'm like, okay, I'll do that one after I get to these. So, and then you won't get the response right away.
What do you think is a good response note time?
Oh. Okay, well, the way I do it, I just, like, as soon as they get there, like, I tell them to respond right away and, like, take it back into the room or, like, make the pile. So, like, I'm mm-hmm. like, you get it, read it, respond to it, like, yeah. like Ariana Grande.
So you're trying to...
return it.
So you're trying to, like, turn
yeah,
that
Yeah, I like
around.
I like to have, like, a efficient, you know? Like, I like to be quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you're a successful director. So. T. Are you... I'm just going to continue asking you yeah. questions about your preferences. Do you prefer letter notes or command-style notes? It's up for debate in this household, so...
I really like the whole, like, narrative idea. Mm-hmm. And I think letters fall into the narrative better. Mm-hmm. But I don't do letters that much, that often when I do them, so I also understand that. But I feel like you could also be... I really go for, like, narrative. I like narrative a lot. And so, and I think you could be narrative without having to write a letter, too.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I'm not a letter gal, yeah. personally. But Casey's big letter gal, so...
Big... Just call me big letter gal.
Big letter gal.
Yeah.
I feel like half of my letters, though, start off, like, very... I keep saying the word RP. I say it too much now.
It's been a word thing for you.
I don't know.
Which is usually
like
my
I'm stuck on the word RP, but I feel like it's so funny in relation to Model UN because it's, like, so obnoxiously, like, over-the-top nerdy. So, like...
It's kind of accurate.
It's, like, it starts off so much in character, and you feel like you're, like, really doing it. And then my note usually, like, my letter, about halfway down, will just, like, kind of turn to, like, more command with just a deer at the top. And then I'll say from, and then my, like... a funny nickname for my position, and then sometimes I'll even write after it, like, this is what I want, like, do this.
It's
just
effective.
Like, I like to beef it up a little bit.
As long as you're communicating.
It needs to happen. Yeah.
This, also you might need a second to think about this, but if you could, what is your dream committee to direct?
Oh,
like,
man.
Your ideal?
Yeah. I would always keep saying, like, I'm not gonna do a work committee, because I genuinely don't like work committees, and yet I chose to direct a war committee last year, and I'm chairing a war committee this year. So I keep coming back to those, but because I generally like sci-fi, like more modern, less political committees,
mm-hmm.
just because I think those are more fun. But my dream committee is a BioShock one.
Ooh.
And like I've actually thought about exactly like, and like me and Sarah, who's one of your host's housemates.
Has she been on here?
Not yet.
Well, we've talked about her being on here.
We'll need to get her on here eventually.
You might have heard her crinkle a chip bag in the background. She's around.
She doesn't even do Model UN, but she, like we've discussed and like have been in the works in making like a BioShock background guide.
Oh, I love.
Wow. Yeah. Look, if you ever make the BioShock background guide and you feel like you want the world to see it, we'll post it as a background guide on Mono1.com.
As like a template, because we haven't really delved into that as much as we were hoping to.
I have that background guide I've been sitting on for like 2 years now that I think I can polish up and we can put on.
Mm-hmm. In Sarah's defense, she has been a staffer for our high school conference for years. Yeah. Even though she's never competed, she's never done one, she just doesn't do it.
She gets
voluntold
to come to the conference.
But she's a good staffer
year.
Too. She's good at it. So we're appreciative.
Yeah. But yeah, BioShock is my favorite video game, like, video game series, and I know, like, I've spent hours on, like, the BioShock wiki, so I know all the lore, and so I think it'd be really cool to direct a BioShock committee before the game is set, when the city, if for those who know the game, before the game takes place, when the city is still, like, the city of Rapture, it's an underwater city, it's still, like, in, like, prosperity mode. And
prosperity mode.
Right, like, on the brink, right when the Civil War starts. Mm-hmm. Because there's, like, in the game and, like, in the history of the city, of like, one specific moment when the Civil War starts, which is when they bomb a really wealthy restaurant on New Year's Eve. So I think, like literally, like, January 1st, like, the council, Andrew Ryan, who's, like, the mayor, like, his council, because it's...
Would you do a JCC or a single room?
I don't think there's enough positions to do a JCC. So I would do a single room with Andrew Ryan's council, because it's at that point where, like, a lot of the elites in the city start to take sides between, because like the big theme of it is like capitalism versus socialism. Mm. And so that's at that point where like people start to like sort of decide whether or not they want to support Andrew Ryan's like complete like libertarian capitalist society, which left like a lot of people like in extreme poverty. So it's like, it's there where like even the rich are starting to like go against Andrew Ryan, and it's, and I think it'd be cool to have, because a lot of the positions like are like on one side, but in the game they end up changing, so a lot of people go both ways.
Interesting.
And it's underwater, so like all the conflict could end up even killing everyone, because everyone still lives like in the same like connected city, so like one thing could go wrong in one place but end up like flooding another part of the city.
Wow. This is really good.
Yeah.
That would be...
This sounds fun.
All right, once you write that background guide, yeah, we'll put it on the website.
We did. I think we've discussed it a little bit. The training ended up devolving in a lot of ways, but we did do a Fallout committee as a training once, and we wrote the background guide, and it was interpretive. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't canon.
Fallout lore?
It wasn't canon to Fallout lore.
There was a Dr. Krentis physician.
There was a lot of... Honestly, I'd love to publish that background guide. Yeah. It's really
funny. We'll have to change some of the background names, because we did make them, like, riffs on some club members' names,
yeah,
so...
And we'll have to ask, because, like, we weren't the only authors on it. Like, Devin was a primary author and stuff. But regardless, it's really funny. And I like that idea of taking... I think video games are really interesting because they have such large built-up universes that even if you play the games, you don't necessarily interact with all of that. Yeah. So I think that that's a really cool way to take it, that's a little more unique than, you know, a standard Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, sort of like, ooh, this is a standard fantasy thing that we like, so let's talk about it.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, going back to the Bioshock, because I want to talk about some more.
Yeah.
Another thing I like is that all the positions are very unique in that, like, they sort of control different, like, industries or parts of the city. So Andrew Ryan is, like, the mayor. But then there's, like, 2 to 3 people who, like, very much, like, control, like, the cultural part of the city. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's one guy who's, like, he owns the arts. Like, he is in charge of that. And this one guy who's, like, the head, like, plumber, like, engineer.
So it's, like, just handing you, like, hey, this is your crisis idea.
Portfolio powers.
Yeah.
And, like, basically, like, these characters were... And there's, like, one who's, like, the singer. She's, like, the songbird of Rapture. So, like... There's, like, they're very specific, like, cool, like, portfolios that come with the characters, I think. That's
seems like it's, like, set up to do this.
Be on the lookout.
If anyone comes out with a Bioshock committee,
I'm
sending you
thing.
A cease and desist letter. We're suing, so stay tuned
because
for
we
that.
Own Bioshock.
I did not trademark Bioshock. I cannot do that, but...
Did you not hear Mono1 recently acquired Bioshock?
Who makes Bioshock?
Yeah, who's the studio?
I don't know.
It's irrational.
Oh, okay.
Mm, well, we ain't got that kind of money.
Well, coming to a Mono 1 near you soon, maybe.
Soon, maybe.
Soon, maybe, which is everything I do in my life.
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of dreams could come true with that background guide, because we've been wanting to do, like, a talk through with how we would do crisis arcs and things with committees, and we could do, like, a whole thing with that. I don't know if I know,
you know,
enough about
Bioshock I've
to tabled, make it a thing.
I've tabled, like, that background guide, like, back in November, because, like, we made it, and then I didn't touch it, so maybe I'll touch it now.
Touch it.
I'll bring it back
and
to life.
We'll all touch it together.
here's, as we draw the podcast to a close, here's the moral of the story. Mm-hmm. Touch your background guides.
Or don't.
No.
If you're writing them, work
on the projects that you have set for yourself.
Work on the projects, but if you're going to a conference, don't touch the background guide. Risk it.
Don't touch
Risk
the background
it. Guide. Show up. Don't read the background guide.
Maybe I'll do that sometime this semester, my last semester.
I think it's a good idea.
Make my own ad hoc.
Yeah.
Make your own ad hoc.
Make it an ad hoc. Literally.
And nobody else knows.
Wait,
it's an ad hoc.
Ask E-board to not tell you what the committee's about. Just, like, cover your eyes
it's
when
the
they get...
It's ultimate training.
They tell you as you arrive, this is the committee you're
okay,
going
well,
to.
Okay, well, this is a thought. We'll continue. Definitely, I
DIY
think this is
ad-hoc.
A good... Yeah, I think this is a good idea.
Yeah, I like this.
All right. But, lastly, thank you, Efrain, for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, this was fun.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, you don't have an econ class you can listen to this back in, so...
No, yeah. Do I? Oh, technically, you have an econ class.
Okay, well, then you can listen on your headphones during econ class, just like the old days.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. You're wonderful. We'll have you back on to discuss Bioshock and your background guide whenever that project comes to fruition.
I'll get going on
if
that.
It ever does. Yeah.
We can all talk about our background guides. We started writing a while ago and just stopped.
All of the things that never were. All right. Well, do I have any points or motions on the floor?
Motion to close debate.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Debate is now closed.
point of information, what are your social medias?
You can follow us on Instagram at @mono1podcast, and you can email us any questions or comments that you may have at mono1.business@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate and review us.